Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1 and verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. I want to consider these verses under the heading, When Mary Met Elizabeth. The story is told of two ladies who were out on one occasion enjoying dinner in a very nice restaurant. And they were there all dressed up and enjoying the evening, spending their time together, and there seemed to be a very happy occasion. When the waiter came over, sensing it was a special celebration, he asked them, Well, why are you out? What is the occasion that you are celebrating together? And the answer came back, We are celebrating the birth of my baby. And then the obvious question came, because the waiter looked around, he didn't see any buggy and he didn't see any baby. And he says, Well, where is the child? And the response came back, Oh no, we didn't bring the baby, we're celebrating without him. You know, that's a sad reality for many across even Northern Ireland and across the UK and indeed across the world. They will be celebrating the time of Christmas, they'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ without actually involving Christ in any way at all. You see that more and more of a society. There'll be that gathering together of families, there'll be the exchanging of gifts, there'll be that time of activity and hustle and bustle, but yet Christ will not come into the picture. Indeed, in society today, the notion is spun year after year that we are a cosmopolitan, we are a multicultural society, and therefore Christ shouldn't even be mentioned or spoke about lest we offend. We'll talk about happy holidays. We'll talk about just the season of joy or the season of goodwill, but no mention of Christ. Now, thankfully, in this reading that we had together, we read of two other ladies in particular, who, when they met together, what is evident is the fact that Christ is central in all of their discussions. Mary, having just received that wonderful and indeed that astounding news from the angel that she will have a child, and that child will be none other than the Messiah himself. And she asked the question in verse 34 of chapter 1. She says, Well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And of course, the verse 35, the answer that the angel Gabriel gives is a very powerful, a very precious answer. Because he says, The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, it's an amazing truth, but a glorious truth. The Trinity of God, the three persons of the Godhead are all involved in the nativity of Christ. But then following on from that verse, the next verse, verse 36, Gabriel goes on to say that Elizabeth hath conceived a son in her old age. And that's why it says what it does in verse 39. Because in verse 39 we read together, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. That's why she was in such a hurry. Even though she's now in the early stages of pregnancy, yet she will travel with haste a distance of 80 miles from her home place to the city of Hebron, where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived. Because in Mary's mind, if she goes to Elizabeth, if she sees her cousin, and she sees her cousin is pregnant, then she will know, Mary will know that the angel was 100% correct. That which the angel half prophesied will happen in her future. And also all of the details around who the child is will be completely true. So she goes quickly. And when she comes to Elizabeth's house, she just walks in. You have that picture, as it were. She just comes and she just bursts through the door. Zacharias, knowing from Luke chapter 1, Zacharias is dumb. His mouth has been stopped, as it were, until the time when John will be born. And so in this picture, in this scene that we have before us, it's just the two ladies. It's just Elizabeth and Mary, two cousins. Both ladies saved by grace, both ladies enjoying one another's company. A wonderful testimony here is the fact that these two ladies, and what is recorded of their initial meeting, of their conversation, it's all to do with Christ. It's all to do with the hope, the joy that they have in the Son of God. As the interaction comes, the conversation takes place. There are three wonderful truths I leave with you as we consider this passage together whenever Mary met Elizabeth. Firstly, in the verse 41, we see the guidance of the Spirit. The guidance of the Spirit, because verse 41 tells us that it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You picture the scene in your own mind. Mary has just arrived at Elizabeth's house. And such is that excitement, as we said, she just bursts in through the door. Her desire is to see her cousin. And she goes in before her elder cousin and she sees her. And Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And so that, as we would call it, that baby bump is there. And she can see clearly, yes, my elder cousin, the lady that is past the childbearing age, the lady that is well on in years, is with child. Mary, when she sees her, her joy is full. She greets her with that wonderful, that joyful acclamation. Elizabeth, look at you. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. That's all she says. She goes in and she salutes her cousin. She's rejoicing in God's grace and God's mercy, God's gift to Elizabeth. And we're told that the babe leaped. Of course, just for a side note, that does, of course, remind us, it does teach us, a baby in the womb is alive. In spite of what the abortionist will say, in spite of what the modern teaching would be, a child within a womb has a heartbeat. A child within a womb does eat. A child within a womb can hear, does move. And I know that babies kick. Whenever they get up, of course, second trimester, heading into the third and the final trimester of pregnancy, a mother will feel the kicking, the moving of the baby. But what we're reading here of the babe leaping in the womb is not simply a babe kicking. The word here for leaped, the New Testament Greek, is the same as the Old Testament Hebrew word for skipped. You think of Psalm 114, verse 4, it says, the mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. And you think in the springtime of the lambs, even there in the fields, and how they jump and how they're leaping about, and skipping through the fields. That's a picture, that's the thought of John here in the womb. He leaps within her. You see, in the life of John, Luke 1 and verse 15 has just been fulfilled. Luke 1 and verse 15 tells us that whenever the angel appeared unto Zacharias, he said, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That has just taken place as Mary has walked in and saluted or greeted her cousin. But I see also the guidance of the Spirit's not simply upon John, but it's upon his mother Elizabeth also. She too, it tells us, is filled with the Holy Ghost. And the evidence of that is seen even in her declaration, what she says, the verses 42 and 43. Because she speaks and she says, whence is this to me? Or she says in verse 42, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now Mary never told her that Mary was pregnant. Mary didn't come in and say, I am with child and the child is the Messiah. Mary's words are a salutation, a greeting to Elizabeth, a congratulations to Elizabeth. And yet Elizabeth, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is brought to that understanding, your Savior's here, God is in the house. You're in the presence of the Almighty God. For your cousin Mary is with child, and that child is Christ. How true it is that it is only by the Spirit of God that we understand and appreciate that we are in the Lord's presence. It is when the Spirit comes upon us, enlightens our minds and our understandings, that we can know that God is near. We are ever before God. We are ever in His presence. God is an omnipresent God. But we can only understand and appreciate His nearness and His presence with us whenever the Spirit reveals it to us. Mary would have came and went without Elizabeth ever knowing if it had not been for the work of the Holy Spirit. God's presence was revealed to her. God's praise also was rejoicing in her, the verses 42 to 45. She speaks with a loud voice, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She is overwhelmed with joy, and even within that joy we see there's a humility and there's also an honor. There's a humility. She says, whence is this to me? The mother of my Lord should come to me. In other words, I don't deserve this. Why would the Lord's presence, why would the Lord, the mother, even the one who carries the child Christ, why would she be coming to me? In other words, just like David before Nathan, whenever Nathan reveals the Davidic covenant, whenever Nathan reveals that Christ's royal line will come through the house of David, David declares 2 Samuel 7:18, who am I? What is my house? There's humility with Elizabeth. Then there's honor given by Elizabeth, verse 42, because she says, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. In other words, she's glorying, she's honoring the Lord. The Spirit of God guided her with God's presence being revealed to her, God's praise rejoicing in her, and then God's prophecy resounding from her. Verse 45, she turns to Mary and she says, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She is used by God to speak to Mary, to reinforce to her the message that the Lord has spoken already by His angel. Mary, you are having a child. And that child will be the Lord. That child will be the Son of the Highest. That child will be the Lord God. And the Lord God have given unto him the throne of David. He shall be called the Son of God. Mary, the Messiah is coming. What a joy it is to note the work of the Spirit, to be led and to be guided by Him. The guidance of the Spirit. Secondly, the verses 43 and 47, you have the grace of salvation. Because it says, Elizabeth speaks first, she says, whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 47, Mary speaking, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Both Elizabeth and Mary are saved Christian women. And the reason they are saved is faith. They are not saved because they are expectant mothers. They are not saved because of who their children will be. They are saved because they believe and they have faith. Scripture is very clear, salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Scripture shows us both Elizabeth and Mary were saved, and the evidence of their faith is clear. In regards to Elizabeth, Luke 1 and verse 6, it tells us that they, in other words, Zacharias and Elizabeth, husband and wife, were both righteous before God. That's justification. They've been declared righteous before God. Then it goes on to say, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. There's the evidence of justification. There's how a man shows forth the evidence that God is within him. And for Mary, when you look at the words of verse 45, it says, blessed is she that believed. In other words, she was justified, she was saved when she believed the word of God. After all, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, the way of salvation, it's never changed, my friend. A sinner, whether you're born in the Old Testament times like Abraham or a New Testament times, salvation is the very same way. Abraham was saved. Why? Because Genesis 15 verse 6 tells us Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. That great truth is repeated in Romans 4 and 3 in regards to Abraham. For Mary, it tells us here in this verse that she, blessed is she that believed. For the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, in his finished work of Calvary. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you do in life, what you accomplish for the good of mankind, or even where you go. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. To be saved, to have faith, you must believe in the Lord. You must accept His word, that word that tells us that you're born in sin, that you're deserving of hell, that word that tells us that you cannot be saved by yourself or by any other. Salvation is of the Lord. You have to believe in His death and resurrection. If you don't believe God's word, you're lost. Elizabeth believed. That's why she calls Christ in verse 43, my Lord. Mary believed. That's why she calls Christ in verse 47, my Savior. Do you notice how the grace of God and salvation impacts? It brings joy. Verse 45, it says, blessed is she that believed. In other words, happy. There's joy in the one who has faith. My friend, today you want to experience joy, real joy, everlasting joy, let Jesus into your heart. You might be happy for a season. You might be happy in this season. You might be happy because it's Christmas. Maybe you're off school, maybe off work for a few days. You might be happy because you're giving gifts and receiving gifts and you're with friends, you're with family. But then that time passes. New year begins. January, they talk about the January blues. They talk about the month of January being a depressive month. Many individuals will suffer from depression. The joy of Christmas only lasted for a season and then it was gone. But my friend, salvation brings eternal, everlasting joy. Isaiah 35 and 10 tells us, the ransomed of the Lord shall return, come with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I wonder today, have you got that joy in your life? Have you experienced the grace of God and salvation? Mary and Elizabeth had. That's why Mary can say, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. There's grace and salvation which brings joy. The guidance of the Spirit, the grace of salvation. Thirdly, finally, quickly this morning, verse 42, the glory of the Savior. Because Elizabeth says, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Elizabeth honors the Lord. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The glory goes to Christ. You might look at these verses and say, but it's Mary who's being revered. But look closely. This is where Roman Catholic teaching and dogma and tradition comes up short. It's heresy. Because Elizabeth here says, blessed art thou, and look at this next word very closely, blessed art thou among women. Not above women, among women. And this is not a standalone verse. This is not the first time that it's said. First occasion, the rule of first, as it were, first mention, goes to God through his angel Gabriel. Because it says, chapter 1, verse 28, when Gabriel comes to Mary, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Not above them. Yes, Mary was highly and truly favored. What a blessing. A privilege was hers. She carried the child Christ. She delivered him in birth. She cared for him in his childhood. But that never elevated her above woman. Roman Catholic teaching is that Mary was born perfect. And that Mary never died. That her body and soul were taken to heaven to be company for Christ after his resurrection and ascension. Mary was a normal woman. She was blessed among women. That's why she says very clearly, "God is my Savior." In other words, I need to be saved. Roman Catholic falls far short. It's interesting, though, because even within their own Bible, the Douay translation that they use, if a Roman Catholic would even bother to sit down and to study the Scriptures, it tells us this verse. It tells us that she is among women. She's blessed among women. It tells us that she even says, "God, my Savior." The glory of the virgin birth is not Mary's. The glory of the virgin birth is Christ's. He receives all of the honor and the glory, both from Elizabeth, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb," and from Mary, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoiced in God my Savior." Everything goes to Christ. My friend, even at this time of the year, let me encourage you as I close, give all of the honor and the glory to Christ. Give your life to him if you're not saved. I wonder today, can you say that he's my Savior, he's my Lord? Elizabeth and Mary could. They give all of the honor and glory to him. Oh, what a time of the year we rejoice and we give thanks. That God gave his only begotten Son. God the Son came into the world, clothed in flesh. We don't simply rejoice in his mother. We rejoice in our Savior. We glory in our Lord. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. We thank thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, who died for us and gave himself upon that cross. Write thy word upon each heart. In Jesus' name, amen.